Well, amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I've been preaching on the church here in the last few messages out of Acts chapter 2. I wanted to digress just for a moment and go back for just a little bit to kind of bring all things up to chapter 2. I think it would be very helpful. And so this morning, that's our heart's desire, is to do that and to bring the life of Christ Jesus the Lord to us. And so the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, in verse 1, we'll begin reading there. We'll read down to verse 3. We'll read verses 11 and 12. And then we'll bring the message this morning. The former treaties have I made of Theophilus, of all that that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I am very thankful this morning, Lord, for you saving my soul. And Lord, I'm thankful for the church that you've planted here in Stafford. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've said here in this church. And we thank you today for our visitors. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the breath to breathe. And Lord, the mind to think and the heart, dear God, to feel and to have appetite. And Lord, to have desire to even be here. Lord, we ask you now, Lord, you do a work into our hearts and our souls. And Father, we don't come here this morning because we don't have anything else to do. Lord, we don't come here because it's an entertainment. Lord, we don't come here because it's just the right thing to do. Lord, we're here this morning to worship, to grow, to learn, to be equipped, and to be able to live our lives according to your word and for the pleasure of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, Lord, you give that to us. God, whatever it may take, if it may take the conviction of sin, God, do that today. God, it may take this morning, Lord, you to reveal, Father, an attitude or maybe a spirit that's wrong. Father, that we may make right with others. Or, Father, if there's anything else, dear God, I pray you search our hearts and find any wicked thing within us. And God, then you may teach us and lead us along the right way. Father, have your way now in this service. Save the lost. God, touch those, dear God, that are here. God, send revival. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You see there in this Acts, it says the Acts of the Apostles. So we find that Acts is a Acts of the Apostles. We find how important that the Apostles are to the church. Matter of fact, in Ephesians, don't turn there, but I'll turn there with you. I'll turn there for you. But Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says, and are built upon the foundation of the Apostles. And so we find this morning, as we've been preaching on the church, that the apostles have a great, 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 great part in what we call the church today. Now, these apostles that I'm speaking of here being spoken of as we find that Jesus is telling the apostles, the one he's chosen, things that we need to know and things that will be continued for the church to go and be as it all that needs to be. Now we find in the very first verse, it says the former treaties. The former means the first. The treaties means something that's said. And the word Theophilus, the word Theophilus means the lover of God. Now I'm just going to say this morning, that the Acts, which was Luke who wrote the book of Acts, he's writing to Theophilus, the lover of God. And I'm just to be honest with you this morning, only the lover of God would be interested in all that Jesus began both to do and teach, wouldn't they? Many of people today are not concerned about this book of Acts. They're not concerned about the things that Jesus said and the things that Jesus did. They're not really going out of their way this morning. They're not really concerned. They're not really excited. And the reason why is that Luke wrote to a man who was a lover of God. And a lover of God will eat this up. A lover of God will welcome. You tell me more about Jesus. A lover of God will say, I want to know all that Jesus said. And I want to know all that Jesus did. Because I'm a lover of God. And so that's what Theophilus means here. And we find that in this book of the Acts of the Apostles, it's all about what Jesus said and what Jesus did. And you know, this morning it just seems like all the goal and the vision of Jesus Christ was the church. I mean, it just seems like when he came, he was born and he died, he resurrected, he ascended, and he promised back to the church, back to the 120 that were there in Jerusalem. He said, I will send back the Comforter. I will send back the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will come. Amen? So go back. And so Jesus' vision and goal was the church, and how we, the church this morning, have come to a place in our lives where the vision and the goal is not the church. It's our vision. It's our goal. It's us making more money. It's us being more happy. It's us getting more done. It's us having great times. It's us enjoying the fruit of our labors. It's us that seems to be what we would like and what we want to do and how we want to do. But Jesus was just focused in on the church. On the church. And boy, I've been trying to preach on the church and to find where we are, where is that church that Jesus said, I will build my church? Where is it located? Who is it made up of? What does it look like? How can you distinguish it between other assemblies and other places that meet in the name of Jesus or in the name of God? Which one and who is the church that Jesus so loved that he gave himself for it? The church that Jesus said, I'll send back. Then I'll send the Holy Ghost and baptize that church with that. Who is that and where they are? Well, I think the beginning of Acts chapter 1 gives us a great indication. And I believe, I just want to say this concerning the church today, that it is about the life of Christ. That's what the church is about. The church today is made up of men and women and boys and girls, and the church today, their life is about the life of Christ. You can't get rid of it. You can't get out of it. You can't get over it. It's never going to end. It's always going to be this way. Every time you hear a song, it ought to be about Christ. Every time you hear a message, it ought to be on Christ. Every time you hear a teaching, it ought to be on Christ. Every testimony ought to bring forth Christ. Every example ought to be like Christ. Every witness ought to be of Christ. Friend, because that's what it's all about. It's just about Christ, amen? And Christ made it about his church. So let's get into the chapter 1 to find out how Jesus and why Jesus is going to do what he's going to do so that the church can be here on earth. Jesus lived on earth. We've got to know that this morning. Jesus is not some fable. Jesus is not some man that's just made up. Jesus isn't somebody that we say was here. Now, none of us this morning was there when Jesus was born. Amen? And so all of us this morning can say, well, I wasn't there, so I can't give you a certain truth, or I can't tell you, yes, he was born, or yes, he lived. But can I say to you this morning, those that are his church, they have no doubt that Jesus lived on this earth. And all others who have doubts about that, all others who don't believe that, all others who think Jesus was just a myth or just a man, all others think Jesus may have been a prophet and a preacher, but he was not something of significance concerning the church. You can believe what you want, but the church this morning believes Jesus lived. Amen? That's what the church believes, that Jesus lived, but he lived on earth. Now, how do we know that? Oh, because Luke is writing to the lover of God. He said, I'm telling you the first things that's ever been said, I'm telling you right now, that of what Jesus did. his doings. His doings. And so if a man did something, that meant he lived to do it. Amen. It's just kind of simple to me. And so we find this morning that Jesus lived on earth. How about his doings? Well, when we see Jesus, we see him in a manger. Amen. You see him in a manger. The first time that anyone ever seen Jesus, he was in a manger. And we find, secondly, we see him being baptized, and you can find that in the scripture. But we see him at his work. We see Jesus as we study the scripture and go back into time. We're not going to do that, but I'm just going to mention a few of them so we can get our minds talking about his doings. Jesus actually lived on earth. Jesus actually walked on earth. Jesus actually worked on earth. Matter of fact, Jesus actually cleansed a leper. Jesus actually healed the sick. He actually cast out real demons. He actually opened up the eyes of those that were really blind. He actually took the lame and caused them to walk. He actually raised the dead. He went in about feeding the hungry. 5,000 at one time and 4,000 at another. We find that he stilled the calm, he stilled the storm. We find that he paid a tribute to Caesar by having a coin in a fish's mouth. We find that he saved the really lost people. We find that he walked on real water. We find that he turned water into wine. We found that he caught many a fish. A matter of fact, at one setting, 153. We also find that there was out fishing. He said, turn on the other side. And they caught so many fish that it bust out the net. Actual fish, actual net, actual fishing. We find in his doing that he took those that couldn't hear and now they can hear. He forgave all sin and he cursed the fig tree that it withdrew itself and died, a real fig tree. Can I just say to you with assurance this morning that Jesus Christ lived on earth? We know that by his doings. By his doings. They're recorded. We find them in the Bible. We find them in other places. We also find his teachings. The Bible says, and teach in verse 1. We're talking about Jesus living on earth. We're talking about his teachings. We find in John chapter 7 and verse 4 and what people have said in the way of a testimony. They said in John chapter 4 and there in verse 6 concerning him talking about Jesus. He said in verse 46, the officers answered, never a man spake like this man. Never a man spake like this. So this man's teaching, talking about Jesus, was never ever a man spoke like him. I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 29, another witness concerning his teaching. They said it like this. They said in chapter 7 and verse 29, he said, and he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Oh, his teachings were of great authority. No one's ever taught like Jesus taught. Matthew 13 and verse 54. We find another one making comments concerning this Jesus this morning in verse 54. Says, and it came to pass, verse 54 of chapter 13. It says, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? And Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42 once again gives us another thought concerning making a thought of Jesus and his teaching. He said, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. And she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But behold, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Oh, we find that the teachings of Jesus was showing forth that he did live on this earth. We find about his commandments back in Acts chapter 2. We find that he made commandments, and in those commandments he made them to a certain group of men. He called them the apostles. We find in verse 2, the last portion, he said, the apostles whom he had chosen. Jesus has chosen these men. He's chosen them by name. All through the Bible you'll find that these men have names and these men were named. these apostles had received commandments according to verse 2 unto the day in which he was taken up. After that, through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And so we find that Jesus chosen 12 apostles. Now these apostles, of course, are going to be eventually the foundation of the church. But while they're before the foundation of the church, Jesus gathered these apostles and he chose each one and he called them by name so that each of us would have a name. Amen. We'd know their names. And in these apostles, he began to teach, he began to command, he began to tell. Matter of fact, to the public, he would speak in parables, but he would bring his apostles together and they would ask questions concerning the parables and say, what does it mean what you said here? Why did you say that? And what is all that curtail to? And he would explain to them and give them greater advice. He said, to them I tell them in parables, but to you I tell the parables and its meaning. So the apostles had a great responsibility and a relationship with Jesus, amen? And they saw what he did. They saw how he did it. They saw when he did it. They know why he did it. They walked with him. They talked with him. They lived with him. You'll find a great closeness. You'll find a great men together of one. And Jesus was just pouring into them the things of God. Oh, the apostles and his commandments. But I want you to notice in Luke chapter 24. Turn there with me. And Jesus now comes to a time, and he's now ascended, he's now resurrected. He's about to be ascended. He brings them to chapter 24, verse 44, and he says to them, he says unto them, talking to the apostles now, he said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets, and in Psalms concerning me. All that Jesus said concerning me, and they're going to be fulfilled. So he's giving them some thoughts. He says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye to the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high. And that's where we are in Acts chapter 2. But before we get there, we need to know how we got there. And I believe this morning that Jesus was giving them some commandments. And I want you to know some things in the way of commandments that he gave to them. He was telling his apostles, he says, now, it is written, is your authority. Because even Jesus said in verse 44, which were written in the law of Moses. Jesus is referring to what was written. Jesus is saying the authority is what's been written. He also says in verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ. So Jesus tells the apostles in the way of a commandment, now listen, apostles, you're not the authority, and anything that is an authority is the written word of God. It is written. Jesus referred to them. The reason why we are where we are, and the reason why we're going to go where we're going to go, is because it is written. It is written. It is written. And so the commandment to the apostles was, your authority is what is written. Amen. We got to make sure we know that. Because if we're going to have a church today, and we got to know what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is, we got to know what Jesus said to the apostles and what the apostles' doctrine, that what they took after in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and now we have a Bible, and if it's the same church that Jesus had in chapter 24 of Luke and the commandments he gave the apostles, and the apostles being the foundation of the church, we got to know what the authority was on that day as it is this day. It is written. Amen? So some of y'all might think, well, this is kind of not that important, Brother Larry. Oh, but it is important because every church, it seems, is different. How do you know what church to go to this morning? You got up this morning, you came to this church. There has to be a reason why. It ain't because I'm a good preacher. It ain't because I'm good looking and in shape. It ain't because all of us in here are rich and giving you money to come. There must be a reason. But why is somebody else going to another church down the road? And why is another one going over here? And why is thousands of people, millions of people today going to different religious places today? Why are they doing that? They're doing it for a reason. What's the reason? You think, well, the reason is because they want to worship God. But God is only in His church. That's where God's at. Well, there's a lot of churches, Brother Larry. Yeah, they believe a lot of different things. So they all can't be gods, because they're not all the same. That's like the Bible. There's only one Bible. It is written. Which Bible is it? There's all kinds of Bibles out there. There's thousands of Bibles out there. Which Bible is the Bible? You got to figure it out. You'll never get where God wants you to go if you don't get into His church and in His book. Oh my, this is important this morning. What did Jesus tell the apostles? And if the apostles has a doctrine, and they did, and we're following that doctrine, and then they are the foundation of the church, well, then we're going to have to follow that in order to be right with God, in order to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find, he says, your authority is going to be, it is written. Because what is written is truth. When Jesus said in verse 44, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me, what he's telling them is that I'm telling you truth. What is written is truth. Whatever is written in the book of Moses is truth about me. Whatever is in the Psalms is truth about me. Whatever's in the prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and the minor prophets is a truth about me. It's just truth. So your authority, dear apostles, is truth. That's what it is. It's what is fulfilled. See, what is written is what's fulfilled. And what Jesus is saying to them is this. There's a lot of prophecies. There's a lot of predictions. There's a lot of promises. But I'm telling you, what is fulfilled is what is right. If there was a prophecy about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, and by the way, there was. And he was born in Bethlehem. Guess what? That's the truth. If there's a prophecy that Jesus was going to die on the cross, and there was. If there's a prophecy that there was coming the deliverer, and there was. If there's a prophecy that Jesus is coming back one day, and there is, you better make it down. It's the truth. That's the authority of the church. Amen? You're not the authority. The church ain't made up of who's the best vote or the highest vote. I'm not the authority. The Word of God's the authority. The sole authority. Not just one of the authorities, but the only authority. If you're going to base yourself against someone, you got to base it against the Bible. If you're going to mirror yourself against something, you got to mirror against the Bible. Listen, friend, everybody in this room can be better than me, but friend, it's not about me. It's about the Bible. Bible says that every man shall be judged by the Bible. You're going to have to give an account one day of the Bible. I'm just saying today, the Word of God is what's the authority. It's what's written. It's what's final. Jesus is saying to them in verse 44, he says, which were written. In other words, he said, that's final. There's not going to be a change. Whatever was written in Moses, whatever was written in the prophets, and whatever was written in Psalms is final. There's no change. There's nothing going to make it different. There's not going to be another Bible. There's not going to be another written source. There's not going to be another one. It is final. It is truth. It is. It's what your authority is. Amen? He says in the way of another commandment. He says, in other words, this preach is your responsibility. He tells them in verse 47, he says, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations. This is another commandment that He gave before He was taken up. This commandment is this, not only of your authority, but I want to give you a commandment of what your responsibility is. And your responsibility is to preach. You see, the church is about preaching. Why is it about preaching? Oh, because Jesus came to preach. Didn't He not? But then He told the apostles, hey, listen, there's only 12. By the way, one of you are a devil. But anyway, there's only 12. And so your responsibility to from this day on, before I'm taken up, before I go away and sitting on the right hand of the Father, he says, you've got a responsibility, and that is to preach repentance and remission of sins. Not to build my church. I will build my church, amen? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hey, I didn't ask you to find about my church and to change my church and to fix my church up and try to work it out and work it in. No, your responsibility as an apostle, the foundation of the church, is to preach repentance. Jesus preached repentance. The apostles preach repentance. And what does the church of the Lord Jesus Christ do? It preaches repentance. Why? Oh, because that's what Jesus said to do. What's the responsibility of this church? To marry people? To bury people? To feed the poor? To go out and have Red Cross come here when there's disaster taking place? Is all those things commendable? Yes. Is those things needful? Absolutely. Is this church here supposed to pay for the doctor bills of the public? Are we supposed to pay for the light bills and the water bills and the house notes and the mortgages and the cars? Are we today to entertain your children? Are we today to make sure that you have a social gathering so you have a social platform that you can come? Are we here for political reasons? Are we here for military reasons? Are we here today? What is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the way of what Jesus said to the apostles who said you're going to be the foundation of the church? What's your responsibility? In church, we've got to get the responsibility clear this morning. It's about preaching repentance and remission. If we're going to be that church, then we got to know what our responsibility is. Amen. I know that it's not very popular in the day in which we live, 2017. You say, Brother Larry, our church is so small. Maybe it's because it's so small because we do preach repentance. And people don't like being told that they're a sinner. People don't like to be told that they're going to have to turn from their sins. People don't like to be told that they're going to have to change in their life. And you say, well, that's fine. Jesus only had 12. Amen? When he died, there was only 120. At his cross, the Bible said they all fled. I say to you this morning, are we going to look at the numbers that we have, or are we going to look at what Jesus said to the apostles and the responsibility of the foundation of the church, what to do? Friend, we got to look at either one of those and decide what church we're going to be. Amen? Repentance. Repentance. That's what Jesus said. That's your responsibility to do, hope, dear apostles. See, in verse 2, he tells them, he said, before he was taken up, that he gave commandments, and this is one of them. Now, what is repentance? Well, I'm just going to briefly go through it. This church knows about repentance, and the Bible says that repentance, meaning to think differently. So in order for us to see somebody saved this morning in this church or any church, they're going to have to think differently. You can't come in thinking one way and leave thinking the same way and be saved. You can't do it. It means reversal. It means you walk in here, you walk unto God in one direction, of one mind, of one heart, and you do this, you do that, you like this, you crave this, you crave that. And friend, listen, friend, whenever you get saved, you're going to have a reversal. You're going to be different. You're going to look different. You're going to act different. You're going to feel different. It's going to be reversal. Not 360, but 180. Amen? I'm just telling you what repentance means. It means a change of mind. It means, friend, you might walk in here and don't believe in the creation. You might not believe in Jesus. You might not believe in the resurrection. But friend, if you're going to be saved, you got to change your mind. You got to reverse your life. You got to come to the place where you think differently. We can't make people do that. You can't force somebody into that. And praying a little prayer don't get you there. And being dunked in the baptistry don't get you there. And joining up a Baptist church don't get you there. And carrying a King James Version Bible surely don't get you there. And so I say to you, friend, all we have to do is preach. You got to reverse. You got to think different. You're going to have to change. That's what repentance means. Amen? That's just what Jesus is telling them. And church, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to be all that God would have us to be, it's not that we're going to have a many members. We may. It's not because we're going to have great programs. We might. It's not because we're going to have this, that, and the other today. It's because we're going to be obedient to the responsibility that God gave to the apostles, who the apostles is the foundation of the church, and who you and I are the church. I just believe of all of us today, we began to be a witness and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ and what they need to do, and that is repent. We might see more. We might have more. But all of us has got to do our part. All of us has got to say, listen, I'm the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been built upon repentance. That's where we've been built on. That was a commandment that was given by Jesus to our apostles. And now you and I got to go out into the community, go into the byways and highways. We've got to go into the places, the marketplaces, the workplaces, and we got to begin to tell them about Jesus and His loving and His mercy and His compassion upon every sinner, that if they would repent, that they could be saved. See, if that message don't go out, that message don't get to the people, if that message don't get out from these doors and from this pulpit, friend, it's not going to be any farther. God's not going to do anything with it. It's got to get out. So that's why we find the apostles. As Jesus said, I want you to go and wait until the power of God is upon you. You see, they had the commandment. And they had the preaching of repentance. They could do that. But without the power of God, it's not effective. Amen? But there's another one that goes with that repentance, and it is remission of sins. And He's telling the apostles, you need to preach, not only to repentance, but you need to preach that there is remission of sins. You can receive pardon for your sin. You can do that. There is opportunity to have forgiveness of every sin. There is an experience, you can experience deliverance from your sin. You need to go out to the public, you need to go out into the places and tell them that you got to repent, change your mind, reverse, think differently, because there is a deliverance of sin. You can have forgiveness and you can have pardon. What a message. I mean, if you go to others and you go to people and say, listen, have you had your sins forgiven? And you'll come up with all kinds of answers. Yes, no, what are you talking about? I don't have any. Our job is to preach. What does it mean to preach? It means to proclaim. It means to pronounce. It means to give. Herald, as the king gave that one who would herald out the message, the king gave it to the herald, and the herald would blow it out. That's what we are to do. That's what the apostles were told to do. Not anything more. Not anything less. Just preach repentance. Preach remission of sins. That there is forgiveness. But then he says, thirdly, and a portion of that, and the resource of that, he says, I want you to preach repentance in His name. He said, then I want you to preach remission of sins preached in His name. In other words, in order for you to have repentance, you've got to have a change your mind of Jesus. You've got to be reversed on Jesus. You're going to have to think differently about Jesus. You're going to have to know that your remission of sins can only be pardoned in Jesus. You can have deliverance in Jesus. Now, Jesus will give you liberty and deliverance of every sin, of all sins. It's Jesus. You've got to preach in His name, for He's the resource. So the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who are they? Where are they at? Where did they get started from? Where did it come out of? Was it just a movement that just started some days back? Was it just some kind of a faction of people, and they just kind of got together and they said, okay, let's just start this thing called Christianity. Well, I'm telling you, Jesus said to His apostles whom He chose personally, and He gave them their names, all 12 of them, which is mildly important.
because he told us there's a 70 that he called out to, but he didn't call their names because they just had a certain period of project that he wanted them to do. Oh, but the apostles' names. He said, now you're going to be the foundation of the church, who I am the chief cornerstone of. And here's the commandments. Your authority is what is written. And your responsibility is to preach repentance, that you got to repent, change your mind about me, Jesus. And then the remission of sins only comes through Christ. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2, he says, for God forgives sins only. In Mark chapter 2, verse 10, he says that Jesus Christ forgives sins. Amen. So we find that's our preaching. That's our message. That's all. That builds churches. That is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is giving that message because that's their responsibility. And so we find this morning that Jesus tells them of the responsibility of the authority. But then he talks about their accountability. He says in verse 48, and verse 47 and verse 48, he says that your accountability is to the nations, among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. He says, because you're a witness of me, because you have a record of me, because you testify of me. He says, that's where we find Jesus. We find Jesus at his work. And then we find Jesus on the cross. Remember we saw Jesus in the manger? We saw Jesus at baptism. We saw Jesus at his work. We just talked about that. Now we see Jesus on the cross. Now we see Jesus in the tomb. And we've also seen Jesus after death. Now verse 3 begins to deal with that. See how we move real quick through the life of Christ. After death. Now how important it is this morning for you and I to know that if somebody would say to you, how do you know that Jesus resurrected? What would you say? What proof would you give? You'd say, oh, because the Bible says so. Well, to you and I, the Bible's authority. That means a whole lot to us. How would you describe it? What would you say? You see, if our doctrine today is that Jesus was died and buried and resurrection, and resurrected. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that that's the gospel according to the Word of God, to the Scriptures. Our very doctrine of our very existence of being a church is on top of the thought of being resurrected. And so Jesus took 40 days to make infallible proofs that he was alive after death. Now let's not just look over this as a church. I'm sure we've read the scripture. We've read it this morning in chapter 1, verse 3. We say that Jesus Christ for 40 days with infallible proofs proved that he was alive. How important is that? It's mildly important. Because see, what makes our Lord different than any other man in its religion is our Lord resurrected, but not only resurrected, but he lives. Everybody else is in the grave. Everybody else is dead and gone and never to be seen before. But our Lord, our Savior, the one that we call the body of Christ, he was 40 days showing infallible proofs. I'm alive. I'm alive. The Bible says there in verse 3, into Acts chapter 1, to whom also he showed himself alive. Boy, I like that. After his passion. The word passion means suffering. You know that movie, Passion of Christ? That's where they got that from, the suffering. After his passion, his suffering, his pain, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Thank you, Lord, for your resurrection. Oh, but thank you, Lord, for the 40 days before your ascension. We don't talk about that much. We kind of let that slide. We kind of let that go. But boy, it's a big point in the way of the church in its formation, in the way of the church in its commandments, in the way of the church in its fidelity that we are real. That there is a real church. And the head of that church is alive. Now, I'm telling you, dear Christian friend, This is a mighty power that you and I are to just put our stakes in and say, boy, I'm a Christian. I'm part of the church of God because my Lord is alive. How about yours? Mr. Buddha? Mr. Muslim? Mr. Hindu? How about you? How about you? Even the Judaism, Mr. Judy, Mr. Judaism? How's it going so far for you? Oh, today, the church in 2017 is a church that has an authority. It's a church that has responsibility. It's a church that has accountability. But it's also a church today that Jesus lives. I want to go through here, and I know it's 5 till 12, but I want to take our time. And I'm going to close with this reading of these scriptures. It's going to be different. But I want you to see what happened in the 40 days when Jesus resurrected to the day He ascended. And in Acts chapter 1, it tells us in verse 2, it says that He was going to be taken up. But before He was taken up, there was 40 days of verse 3. Then verse 11 says, you men of Galilee, stand here gazing into heaven. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven. He was told He was going to be taken up. He was 40 days before He was taken up. And then He was taken up. Now those 40 days, what did Jesus do? I'm going to read you these scriptures this morning. I pray that you just sit and listen and meditate on this God's Word concerning our Lord between His resurrection and His ascension. Because this means the world to the church today. Matthew chapter 28. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. I'm not going to comment on any of this, but I'm just going to read it. I just want the Word of God today just to be, to melt our hearts and to move into our hearts. Matthew chapter 28, of course, Jesus in verse 1 has died. Chapter 27 has died. Verse 1, He's resurrected. After He's resurrected, we see in verse 9, He says, and as they went to tell His disciples, because, of course, the angels came and told Him He's not here. He said, and as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Mark chapter 16. Some translations don't even recognize this whole chapter or the portions of the chapter. The Bible which I use, which is the only Bible that can be used, has recorded it. Mark chapter 16, let's start reading in verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. She went and told them that had been with Him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that He appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed them them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Luke chapter 24. Verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about threescore furlongs. They talked together all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? The one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre, found it even as the woman had said, but him they saw not. He said unto them, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? In the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. He went into tarry with them, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. The Bible says there in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. He said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, that as I myself handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when they have thus spoken, he showed his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. He took it, and he did eat before them. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that he might understand the scriptures. He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye to the city of Jerusalem until you endued with power on high. John chapter 20. Look there about verse 11. Simon Peter went and drew the net to land, chapter 20 of, verse 11 of chapter 20. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, and stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, one on the head and the other on the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because thou hast taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and know not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Jesus, supposing him to be, she supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day, the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto him his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had thus said, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. And he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it unto my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Chapter 21, there in verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came to the little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon in bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not.
This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which was leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that ye tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, was that mighty important for the apostles? If you recognize in all that reading, they referenced Jesus as Lord. Don't you notice that or not? Why? Because they knew, because of His resurrection and now He's alive, that this is the Lord. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed. After that 40 days, these apostles were ready. They were convinced. They're ready to do as the Lord has them to do. Have them to do as they are supposed to do, because they know He's alive. This morning you say, how does that apply to me? Well, it applies to me in this way. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of people with infallible proofs that Jesus is alive. And because He's alive, that's the church's focus. And that's the church's purpose. It's because of Him. Do you love Him? Are you worshiping Him? Are you serving Him? Is your life about His life? You need to come this morning. You come. The life of Jesus. Yes, the life of Jesus.